Father God, you are indeed a great and merciful God. You are kind and loving. Lord Jesus, you are full of grace and mercy, and we thank you for your sacrifice on our behalf and for the forgiveness of sins. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your abiding presence and your willingness to be always at our beck and call and to help us in our time of need. We thank you for the privilege of being gathered here this morning, and we want to pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and our lives as we look into your word. I want to pray for Pastor Samson as he preaches in our Chinese ministries. I pray for Brian as he is fast approaching the end of his ministry in Poland, that you would give him enduring strength and that you would lift his spirits and continue to use him in that ministry. And now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So life is filled with, if we can have the thank you, life is filled with all kinds of oddities, with many baffling questions. And if you don't believe me, just consider these things. Why do they sterilize needles for lethal injections? Why is abbreviated such a long word? Why does the Evangelical Free Church still take up offerings? Why do you press harder on the remote control when you know that the battery is dead? Why will a man believe you when you say that there are 400 billion stars in the universe, but when you tell him that the bench has wet paint on it, he has to touch it? Why does 7-Eleven, which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, have to have locks on its doors? And why, if Christianity is the ultimate reality, offering an abundant life now and eternal life to come, why are so many Christians sad? Why do so many Christians sing the blues? And when I say that, I'm not referring to this great song written by Neil Diamond called Song Sung Blue. Song Sung Blue, everybody knows one. Song Sung Blue, every garden grows one. Me and you are subject to the blues now and then, but when you take the blues and make a song, you sing them out again, sing them out again. Song sung blue, weeping like a willow. Song sung blue, sleeping on my pillow. Funny thing, but you can sing it with a cry in your voice, and before you know it, start to feeling good. You simply got no choice. Song sung blue. Everybody knows one. Song sung blue. Every garden grows one. Now, in my previous sermon, I referred to John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but, says Jesus, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This strongly suggests to me that the Christian is meant to enjoy life. She is meant to experience a qualitatively abundant or satisfying life. As the psalmist said it in Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. We are meant to enjoy life, the abundant life. But still, even Christians get the blues now and then. Song sung blue, everybody knows one. Me and you are subject to the blues now and then. This is something that we must acknowledge. Christians do get the blues. It happens. Now, another way of stating this is that Christians do encounter melancholy and depression. And the experience can range from short and mild to long and severe. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought, let's try to picture this in terms of colors. If you were using colors to describe the experience, we might think of a range from light blue, which is called periwinkle, to a dark or a blackish blue, which is called dark midnight blue. Now, the light blues, or periwinkle depression, can simply be the side effect of something as common as being sick with the flu. The blues are not severe. They're not long-lasting. Depression can also be a reaction to life events. So, for example, you lose a loved one, or you are fired from a job, and your reaction to that is one of dark midnight blue, which is a deeper, a longer-lasting experience. Depression can also be the result of committing sin without repentance. You see, without repentance and forgiveness, a guilty conscience and the conviction of God the Holy Spirit can lead to emotional pain, to suffering, to melancholy, to depression. And depression can also be an illness. A person may have a biochemical disorder that sends him into the experience of depression, and the only way out of it is through professional counseling and sometimes the aid of medication. So just by these examples, you see that the experience of depression runs the gamut from having the everyday blues to having a clinical disorder. Now, although depression is a very complex reality, and I say this with some trepidation, I would suggest that the simplest way to describe depression might be to say that it is simply the loss of joy in living. Now, I realize it can be much more complex than that, but in my mind, simply the loss of joy in living would be a way to describe the blues. The fullness of life, the experience of the good life, the abundant life, the feeling of satisfaction in life has been replaced by a sadness and lethargy that may last only a few hours, or it may consume a person for a lifetime unless professional involvement is sought. Now, depression in Canada has become, or maybe has been for a very long time, a serious health issue. There are various mood disorders associations who believe that depression is experienced by at least 10% of the Canadian population. And they estimate that the direct and the indirect medical costs of depression in Canada tops $5 billion every year. In addition to the personal and the economic cost is the untold emotional and psychological cost to individuals and families hurt and bewildered by their own or by an acquaintance's moodiness, lack of joy, and depression. Getting the blues and being depressed affects many people, including Christians. Now, I wanted to give you just a couple of examples of this from the Bible. And we already read Psalm 42, where the sons of Korah describe their depression. So I'm not going to read that again to you, but that is one example of men who were experiencing a sense of depression. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Why am I going through this experience? Another example is 1 Kings. I would like you to turn there, please, to 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm going to read starting at the very first verse. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. I'm going to come back to the rest of this passage in just a moment. But here's an example of a man who is experiencing the blues, and a rather severe version of the blues. Some other examples that you might want to study on your own would include the life of Jonah, the life of Job. These followers of God who went through serious bouts of depression. Now, in light of the very real and quite common experiences of getting the blues, what can be done? Well, I am going to suggest that you can become proactive and you can take measures to chase your blues away, to help restore the sense and experience of abundant, joyful living. Now, before I make some suggestions, however, I really need to give a word of caution or clarification. If you try to follow my suggestions and they have no effect or very little effect in your life, you may have a more serious form of depression that is physiologically based, and you may need to pursue clinical help. If you already know that you have a clinical depression, please do not replace or stop working with your physician in favor of the suggestions that I am going to make this morning. Now, I believe that the suggestions that I am about to make are very good ones because they are based upon the teachings found in the Bible, and you should try to incorporate them into your life, but do not forsake the wisdom and the help of others because they can be God's blessing in your life. Do not forsake the wisdom and the help of professional counselors and medical practitioners. Consult them. Continue to consult them in the process of being able to sustain a sense that life is worth living, that life is good, that there is joy to be found in life. Now, if you lack joy in living and you know that it's not a clinical issue, that the blues that you are experiencing are just now and then, I'm going to give you some suggestions. If you discover that the blues are more common, recurring over and over, too frequent, too unrelenting, then please seek professional help. Now, for those who are just facing the blues every now and then, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. The experience of joy is God's ideal for us. Jesus came to give us the experience of the abundant life, the full life. Now, this abundant life, this full life, this joyful life does not preclude disappointment or discouragement or sadness or suffering or even the blues now and then. But the joyful, the abundant, the full life still remains a biblical and noble desire and focus in life. And I say that, again, based upon what the Scriptures teach us. Let me give you some more examples. Psalm 32, verses 10 to 11. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10, verses 32 to 34. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Philippians 4, verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord. What's the next word? Always. Paul says, I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 6. You see, God wants us to be joyful. He wants to put some dance into our feet and some songs into our mouths and some joy into our heart. What then can be done to move us toward a more chronic experience of joy? My suggestions are offered this morning in a package, in a bundle. They are to be taken as a whole. And the more of them that you follow, I believe the better the results will be. So acknowledging that Christians do get the blues now and then, what can we do to overcome that experience? The first suggestion I would say is this: Christians need to clean out the emotional garbage. Now listen closely to Ephesians 4, verses 29 to 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, the kinds of garbage listed by Paul in these verses will lead to the loss of joy. You can't experience a life of contentment when you hold on to bitterness and anger and malice and so on. To hold on to these things is both childish and harmful. Now, we know that four-year-olds, they're easily confused by the practices and the theology of the church. But one little four-year-old's prayer was right on the mark when he prayed this: "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." There's some great theology. Christians need to forgive those who are throwing trash around, and they need to make sure that their own baskets are emptied on a regular basis. Get rid of the garbage. Cleanse your emotions, cleanse your attitudes, and joy will enter in. My next suggestion is this: Christians need to develop a healthy lifestyle. I said we'd be coming back to 1 Kings 19, so I hope you still have it. 1 Kings 19, and let me just go back and start at verse 3 again. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Now pay close attention to these next verses. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. To overcome depression, Elijah needed to nourish and rest his body. And the angel came to make sure that he did that. Psalm 127, verse 2, we read, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." You see, God is concerned about our physical well-being. As Paul put it in Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "Physical training is of some value, But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Physical training has some value. We need to understand that joy is more easily experienced when we maintain a healthy lifestyle. That means proper diet, getting enough sleep, exercising regularly, not overeating like I do. Maintain a healthy lifestyle, and it will be more easy to experience joy. My next suggestion is this. Christians need to avoid isolation. Don't be alone. Don't be an irregular in church life. Be a full participant, not a sporadic participant in the life of the church. Don't be the last one in and the first one out. Be an active member of a church family. You see, God has placed Christians in a family for their benefit. Find support and find friendship and find encouragement from others. Here's one certainty. If you see a turtle on the top of a fence post, you know that he had help getting there. We all need help getting up. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. The thief wants to steal away our joy and harden our hearts towards God. That's what the thief wants to do. We need to find encouragement and help from other Christians. Now, you've read, and I know you've heard Hebrews 10, verse 25 quoted so very often. Make sure that you believe it and you practice it. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it is a mistake for you to wait for others to make the first move. You must make the first move. Do not give up meeting with others. Do not isolate yourselves. Do not pull away from other Christians. You will be running away from one of God's directives that promotes the experience of joy. Avoid isolation. My next suggestion. Christians need to read God's Word daily, regularly, as often as possible. Like our daily meals, reading the Bible should be a daily routine. Now, I know that you know that this is true. You already know this. But when you are feeling blue, it will take extra effort to pick up your Bible and read it. But doing so is vital. Doing so will help to chase the blues away, and it will relieve some of the pain that you are encountering. Consider what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. He said such things as, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Your statutes are my delight. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. My comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Go home and read Psalm 119. All those long, long verses. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You want your soul to be revived? You want to experience joy? Then get into the law of the Lord. Get into the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. You want joy? You want to experience delight? You need to read God's word. You need to feast on God's word daily, and your blues will be replaced with joy and delight. Here's my next suggestion. Christians need to sing. Now, I am baffled. Why do some Christians fail to see this great truth when a secular songwriter like Neil Diamond understands it so well? Song sung blues, sleeping on my pillow. Funny thing, but you can sing it with a cry in your voice, and before you know it, start to feeling good. You simply got no choice. If Neil Diamond understands that truth, why don't we? We need to sing. When King Saul was tormented, and you can read about this in 1 Samuel 16, what did he do? He turned to David, who played music and sang for him. Singing chases the blues away. The book of Psalms is all about singing. Singing chases the blues away. Now, the best singing, the best music, isn't that offered by Cardi B or Chris Wu or Taylor Swift or Faye Wong or BTS or Cole Porter or Leon Lai or Maroon 5 or Aaron Kwok? No. The best singing, as exemplified by the psalmist David, is singing that exalts God. The songs that will bring the deepest and most enduring joy into your life will be the songs that exalt God. Now, whether they are songs that are taken directly from the book of Psalms, or whether they are songs penned by contemporary Christian artists, or whether they are songs that are privately composed within your own heart, when you exalt and you magnify God, you will replace the blues with joy. Ephesians 5, verse 19 says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. You can sing your blues away. The next suggestion. Christians need to express thanks. Now, expressing thanks when you're in the midst of blues may seem counterintuitive. When you're depressed, when you're feeling miserable, what is there to be thankful for? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says this. Give thanks in all circumstances. And we always have to make sure that this gets pointed out, not for all circumstances. Some circumstances aren't worthy of thanks, but in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To chase the blues away, you can focus on something for which you are thankful. Now, as hard as it may be when you are in the midst of blues, there is always something for which you can give thanks. Let me give an illustration to drive this point home, and I'm going to borrow from the comic strip called Peanuts. You know, Peanuts and Charlie Brown and so on. It's Thanksgiving, and Snoopy is getting dog food for his Thanksgiving dinner. And he is aware that everyone else in the family is inside the home having turkey. And Snoopy meditates, and he talks to himself. He says, how about that? Everybody is eating turkey, and just because I'm a dog, I get dog food. And then he trots away, and he positions himself up on top of his dog house. And then he concludes this. Of course, it could have been worse. I could have been born a turkey. Now, if you cannot imagine anything worse than your present experience of the blues, of depression, if you cannot think of anything for which to give thanks, let me nudge you towards one truth that is found in Hebrews 12, verse 28. There it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. As a Christian, if you believe that you have nothing for which to be thankful at the moment, at least focus on this one truth, that once this mortal life is over, you have an eternal kingdom destiny. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. If there is nothing else for which you can give thanks, here is the one thing as a Christian that you can be thankful for, that you have eternal life. Guaranteed through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have an eternal life that is soon going to envelop you, where you will always and truly be filled with abundant joy and great thanksgiving. Express thanks. Last suggestion is this. Christians need to rely on the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14. When the disciples of Jesus were troubled, and when they were succumbing to the blues, Jesus says, John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then he made this tremendous promise to his disciples. John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Go down to verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. To truly live, to truly remove trouble and fear from your life, to truly experience joy, you must live in submission to the Holy Spirit, and you must live in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to help us live well. He gave to us the Holy Spirit to help drive the blues away. You must invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life. You need to daily surrender your will to Him and invite Him to lead and empower you. You need to daily invite the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. And as you do that, joy will flood your soul and it will push your blues away. Song sung blue. Everybody knows one. Song sung blue. Every garden grows one. Ah, but here's the reality. You can start feeling good again. That is God's desire for you. You can experience joy again. You can experience an abundant and satisfying life. Implement these suggestions that I've made today and discover it to be so. Let's pray. Father God, I would not be surprised if some, maybe even many, came here this morning feeling the blues. I pray that you would help us to reflect upon the truths found in your word, that you would help us to implement many of the suggestions offered this morning. God, we thank you for giving to us, offering to us through Jesus Christ an abundant life. Help us not to miss out on that. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and give God glory.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please. Please be seated. Thank you for spending time with us this morning. Remember that off in the side room there are refreshments. Please enjoy that and some fellowship with one another.